of the gospel, if they could only hear the real gospel. The real gospel is really interesting. The real gospel is life abundant. You know, people living in pretense in the world. I know what the world's like. I was a singer and I've been in business. I know what the world's like. I know, you know, things that happen and what it's like. And I've enjoyed the best the world has to offer. I'll be honest with you. Some of the experiences I've had have been the best the world has to offer. And it leaves you empty. It really does leave you empty. There's nothing in it. But the gospel of Jesus. Just fellowship with him here. Singing with him this morning. Oh, it's beautiful. I fell on my knees earlier as we're singing the reality of that hymn. Oh, glorious. What he's done for me. Totally forgiven now before God. He sees me as forgiven. He sees me as justified. Oh, it's joyous. Stuff to shout about. So, having said all that, let me go into the word this morning here. And let me read from Matthew's gospel. In Matthew chapter 10. From verse 34. Matthew 10 verse 34. It says, Jesus stated clearly what it means to follow him. Now this is now about following Jesus. We've spoken about this earlier in the year, following Jesus, but this is a slightly different angle. So looking at things slightly differently, we'll recap on a couple of things. We're not going to be long this morning, but let me go through this now. The words of Jesus. He said, do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. This is Jesus speaking. He says this, anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Amen. What's Jesus saying? Well, what he's saying is this. At the uttermost of our life, shouldn't be pleasing, no matter how much you love your family, no matter how much you love them, and your children, or whoever it might be, they must come second place to God. God must be first place. When God's first place, everything else falls into place. But if you put people first place, then you've removed God from his rightful place. Never put people first place. I don't care who they are and what they offer. Never. I love my darling wife very much. She'll always be second place. And I'm glad to say, she loves me very much, and I'll always be second place to her. Great. Wouldn't want it any other way. So let's look at the Gospel of Luke. Come with me then to the Gospel of Luke 14, chapter 14, Gospel of Luke. And he says this. Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me, and does not hate his father or mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Whoo! Strong words, Jesus. Strong words from Jesus. I thought he was always gentle, you know. People say, I thought he was always gentle. I thought he was always a nice man. You've got to be. Jesus Christ is a handful, trust me. Jesus Christ is a, you know what I mean by a handful. When that man walks in the room, look out. Because the Bible records that that man turned some tables over. He made a whip and he whipped some people out of the temple. I mean, Jesus Christ is a handful. So let me say this before we read on. We've got to have a very clear picture of who we're following for us truly to follow him. Now, I'll tell you what happens usually in the church. People make up their own Jesus. And there's people in this room right now, and you've made up your own Jesus. You're not following the real Jesus. I'll just repeat that because it's very strong and it needs to be said. You're not following the real Jesus. And I'm saying it because I want you to check who you're following. You say that's a bit strong? It needs to be. It's not my words, it's his words. We're called to follow Jesus. Now let me just highlight this point, pause here, and just say this. If you look up follow in the dictionary, and you look up the antonym of follow, in other words, the opposite of follow. The opposite of follow, antonyms of follow are disregard, misunderstand, and neglect. So if we're really following Jesus, we must have regard for his words. We can't misunderstand them. And we certainly mustn't neglect them. So to be a real follower of Jesus Christ, you know, people say they follow. Yeah, I follow. What does follow mean? And see, what people usually do is they invent someone who it's easy for them to follow. He fits into their life. He doesn't disturb their life too much. That's who I'm following. Yes, I follow Jesus, yes. And Jesus wants me to do this. I've heard so many people say, Jesus wants me to do this. And Jesus said, no, he doesn't. You just made Jesus up. You've shaped your own Jesus to qualify what you want to do with your life. That's not following Jesus. Jesus says following him, really following him, means that we actually deny ourselves. Can you see it? I don't want to be too strong, but I've got to be honest. Do you want me to be honest? Thank you. Can I have an amen from someone? Oh, that's nice. Thank you. So let's read on. And we'll go from verse 27 of Luke 14. It says, and whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. What does bearing the cross mean? I mean, Jesus bore the cross. So what does it mean for me and you to bear the cross? Well, what it is it's anything. The cross was Jesus' responsibility. That was his responsibility. What's your cross? It's your responsibility. That's what your cross is. It's your responsibility. What are you responsible for? Well, you know, earlier when I said about what you think should be done in the church, that's God speaking to you about your responsibility in the church. So it's whatever God is speaking to you about how you are, about your life, that's what you're responsible for. You're not responsible to me for my life. I can't live your life for you. You're responsible before God for your life, for your family. Now, we love each other, and we're going to support one another. And if there's anyone in this building right now that wants help and support, I am there for you. Because that's what loving one another is all about. And we all need support. And we all mess up. And we all need help. So it's not, it, but it's responsibility. And sometimes you feel, well, I don't think I can do. And you need help then. But sometimes with a bit of help, a bit of encouragement, people coming on the side, you can carry out that which is your responsibility. The cross that we all have to bear. You see, I love the grace of God. I've preached a lot this year on the grace of God. I've preached the fact that it's by grace that we're saved. It's just grace. It's not my works. It's not your works. It's just grace. I'm saved by grace. But Jesus is saying, yes, we're saved by grace. We're qualified just by his grace and belief, and that's it. But after that, responsibility. So the qualification of grace doesn't involve neglect as a believer. It involves responsibility. But it's not burdensome. It's a joy. It's what I want to do. And the flesh is wrestling with me, and the flesh is trying to get me another way. And my spirit man is wanting to go this way, and the flesh man is wanting to go this way. Last week, I was very honest with everyone. I said I was driving, someone cut me up, the old Steve came, and I just thought, I'm going to pull a gun out, and I'll end this problem right now. What an awful thing for a pastor to share. But I'm just being honest. And it was a big, nice, anyway. Just being honest, that's the flesh. That's the wrestling. Well, how do you cause the spirit man to win over the flesh man? You feed the spirit man. How do you feed the spirit man? You're in the Word, worshiping God, in prayer. And then the spirit man gets stronger, the spirit woman gets stronger, and then we live what God has called us to live. Then we bear our cross. We take up our responsibility. Our responsibility is His will for our lives. God has planned good works in advance that we should walk in them. So, verse 28 then of Luke 14, it says this, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and he wasn't able to finish.' Or what king going to war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." I mean, it's radical, folks. It's a radical life he's called us to. It says, forsaking all that he has cannot be my disciple. It's just radical. This Christian life is the most radical call ever given to mankind. That's why he changed the world. Turn the world upside down, this gospel. The world is all about me, myself, what I want to do. I like to do this. I feel I should, and I my rights, and I want to, and I'm going to. And the gospel is, no, put other people first. I'm going to love you. You hate me, I'm going to love you. What? Even enemies. Now I'm commissioned to love them. The flesh wants to. The flesh says, no, I'm going to. I'm going to love them. It doesn't mean to say you get close to certain people. You employ wisdom. You know, some people you keep them, you know, well off, obviously. But there's a complete change of the way we are. It's a denial of self. And it's putting him first. And what does that look like? Well, part of it looks like this church. This is the place where we are as a body. And I want to say this. You're a minister of the gospel if you're a believer in this church. This is your church. You have an idea, you know, for something. Feel free. Come to me. Tell me. You know, we can do it. We're ministers together of his gospel. The old religious idea of the minister at the front being the font of all wisdom, well, you know me well enough, know that that's not going to work. It's just not going to work. Because we all have gifts, talents. You know more things than I do in areas. And together we become the body of Christ. It's the body, not the body part. And that way, you know, we function as something that's beautiful. You know, if we had a time machine, or if we had a travel machine, we'd go to places in the world right now where there's beautiful churches, healthy, flourishing churches. I've experienced some of those churches, beautiful. When the church of Jesus is pulsating, orientated around prayer, orientated around his life, the scripture, it's a beautiful thing. That community of believers is a thing to aim for. God's called us to be like that. He's called this community here, Living Faith Church, to be just like that. It's a privilege that we have, you know. And Christmas time coming up in not too distant now. And, you know, I'm thinking already, how can we reach the people out there, tell them the truth about Christmas? I've been praying. I said, Lord, you know, as we were handing out some things for Christmas last year, I went around the houses. I was in tears as I went around some of the houses because, I don't know, you know, sometimes you feel what's on the inside. I saw so many houses with beautiful lights, and I could just sense inside there was just dead. But they were trying their best to have a good time with the information that they had. And I would just love them to hear the gospel. I just wanted to knock the door and say, please let me tell you about Jesus. Oh, he loves you so much. He loves your lovely children so much. He loves you so much. He's got plans for you. It's not the dead religion that you think it is. It's a living faith. It's not about dead religion. Oh, please, can you give me 10 minutes? I didn't do it. I did in a couple of instances. I did speak to some people. But I just wanted to knock all the doors and share the gospel with them, you know, because I felt what was there. So this year, wouldn't it be nice if we could have some services and we work together and we say, oh, we're going to reach people with the gospel of Jesus. Let's think of some plans. Let's think of ways. And the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you. And he's not necessarily going to speak to me about it. I'm not going to have all the ideas. You're going to have some really good ideas. Well, let's get those ideas and let's do those ideas. And that way we become then people who are taking the responsibility that God is putting in them. And God is speaking to us. He's speaking to you. And the cross, picking up the cross daily is really, you know, about yielding as well. That's a big part of the responsibility. Being responsible before God is to yield to him, saying, Lord, have your way. Yielding to what the word says. Yielding in prayer. Oh, it's beautiful. Just as we're coming to a close here, let's just read on. From verse 33, let's read that again. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill. But men throw it out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Quickly, going to Matthew 7, verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few that find it. My friends, Christianity has gone out of fashion. It's no longer fashionable to say that you're a Christian. it's no longer fashionable to say that in the society in which we live. I don't care about fashion. Fashion comes and fashion goes. Flared trousers used to be the fashion of the day for men, and platform shoes. Flared trousers and platform shoes are no longer the fashion of the day for men. Fashions come and fashions go, but the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ has remained. Whether people out there believe it, whether they don't believe it, it makes no difference. These words are eternal truth. They're eternally true. This country of ours has chosen to reject them in the main. That's up to them. That's their fashion. That's the fashion they've chosen. I could tell you of places on planet Earth that haven't done that. I could tell you of places that are embracing this, and it has become their way of life for much of their communities. China is an area that springs first to my mind, the underground church in China. But there are many places on planet Earth that have done this. But the Western world in the main chooses a different way. It's their choice, our choice as wise people entering through this narrow gate is this. We reject that which isn't of the Bible and the scriptures. We say no to it. The wide path looks like this, my friends. There's a wide path. And let me tell you, everyone who enters the narrow gate has at one time been on the wide path. Think about this. The wide path is this. So something comes up. It's not of God. It's not right. And people say, well, okay. It's okay. Let's not focus on it. And more things don't come up. They're not of God. I don't want to argue. I don't want to stand up for the truth. Let's just go. And anything goes. It's a wide path. That's a wide path. Most of the people are on that path. This is what the narrow path looks like. We start on the narrow path, all of us. The narrow path is ahead. We start on this wide path, and we say, oh, that's not right. That's not in the Bible. That's not what the Bible teaches. I step aside from that. That's not right. That's not what the Bible... I step aside from that. Oh, I don't think that's right. I step aside from that. It's getting narrower. As you walk on further, it gets narrower. It's a narrow gate in the end. Few there are that find it. I said, few there are that find it. But that's the right way. But all the people are going this way. Surely you've got to go with the crowd. Sure, all the people are going this way. If I go the narrow way, they're going to laugh at me. They're going to say, oh, you've got religion. Oh, well, what, you've become religious now or something. No, I've not become religious. What I've done is I found a man called Jesus Christ who died to save me, and he told me that there's a narrow gate, and I'm going that way now, and I believe that you're on the wrong way. I believe you're with a broad road, and that broad road leads to a place called destruction. That's what I believe is going on. And then they say, oh, well, yeah, well, who's to say? I mean, Jesus, who's Jesus? I mean, what's Jesus about? What do you know about Jesus? Say, oh, you want to know about Jesus? Oh, okay. Take a coin out of your pocket. He's the man who split history in two, BC and AD. He's the man who split history in two. That's who Jesus is. He's not just an ordinary man. He's the God-man. He's the man who shows us how to live. He shows us how to live, and he showed us in his word. Oh, my friends, it's a beautiful thing this morning to be here worshiping the Lord Jesus. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We worship you. Let's stand. Oh, thank you. Father God in heaven, we worship you. We praise you. Let's pray together.